Blog Talk Radio.
Beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and it's good for us to be here. We thank God that we're here just another day, amen, to be able to say what thus saith the Lord, to say what is written. And we thank God for that. Amen. Just a blessed opportunity. Able to look into our liberty. And so we thank God to hear just another time. And we want to give out our call-in number just in case someone would like to call in and have a comment or question. And I think at this time I have somebody on. I want to see right quick. Go ahead, caller.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm just calling. Hello?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I'm just really interested in this show Ephesians because I was led to read Ephesians just before I actually searched for other talk shows on Blog Talk, and it just so happened that you came up. So I'm just going to listen and see what messages you have with this message that I've gotten earlier just before the show.
Good. Yes, we want to move on in the show. We're just coming on, so, yeah, thank God for you. So, yeah, we're glad to have you aboard, on board, on Blog Talk Radio.
Glad to be here.
Okay. All right, so just listen in. Okay, so, yeah, so we thank God that we're here. Give out on the day, and I mean not 734, but I'm sorry about that. Our Blog Talk number is 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. So we thank God for all of our Blog Talk listeners, and thank God for the sister that just called in. Thank God for you. So also we'd like to thank God for all of our new Blog Talk listeners and our Blog Talk friends. Also, all those that are on Facebook, thank God for you that are listening in on Facebook. And also our Twitter listeners, thank God for you listening to our program. So we thank God. So this particular show is called Truth, and that's exactly what we endeavor to do, is to tell the truth out of the word of the Lord. And so, and just like Jesus said during his earthly ministry when he wrote in St. John 17:17, when he was praying the Lord's Prayer, which is out of the 17th chapter of St. John. We know that the other prayer that when the disciples asked the Lord to teach them how to pray, that was, he didn't say what I say, but this is how you should base your prayer. But the Lord's prayer is in the 17th chapter of St. John, in the 17th verse, he said, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. So we know that the Bible is the truth when it's rightly divided. So all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And also, 2 Timothy 2 and 15 says, study. Paul wrote a letter to Timothy, his son in the gospel. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so we thank God for that. So this is the truth when it's rightly divided. So we have been going through the Bible, and we had finished up back earlier this year. We have been going straight through. We had went through the Acts of the Apostles, and we also went through the book of Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Then also we ended up in the book of Galatians. We finished that up. So on last week, we started off in the book of Ephesians, which is the church here. This particular letter was one of Apostle Paul's letters to the church at Ephesus, is dubbed one of his Pauline epistles, his first in order of the prison epistles. And so last week, our subject was the mystery of the church. And so that was today we are going forward, the mystery of the church, part two. So, and also, the epistles are written to believers. This is what a lot of people don't understand. Now, the Gospels letting us know Jesus told people things that they must do to be saved. So, Gospel, in the Gospels, and there's only one Gospel, and there's four Gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So, we know, to make it real quick, that Matthew wrote to the Jews, and John's gospel was a divine gospel. The other two gospels, one was he was the son of man. The other one, he was a servant, the son of God. So we can see the genealogies in Matthew's gospel and also in Luke's gospels. So we don't see that in Mark. We don't see that in St. John. So we see here, and then also you go to the Acts of the Apostles, you actually get instruction from the Lord himself as to how to get saved or what to do to be saved. The carrying out of salvation, as in the book of Luke, we see his ascension when he led them as far as to Bethany, the 24th chapter, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them as parted out of their sight and was received up into heaven. So, but he told them, thus it behooved you to Christ to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Here in the 24th chapter of Luke, and I'm doing this for a reason. I'm trying to move on, and ye are witnesses of these things. So the 49th verse in the 24th chapter of Luke, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, tarry ye be endued with power from on high. Notice, this is Jesus himself talking. He led them out as far as Bethany, lifted up his hands and blessed them, and it came to pass, while he blessed them, and he was parted from them and carried into heaven, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. So, here's my point. What's very important, the gospel writer Luke is the same writer who wrote the Acts of the Apostles. So, what's so important is on the day of Pentecost is when people got saved, when the Holy Ghost fell in the second chapter of Acts. And we can see who was there, all the apostles and Mary, also the mother of Jesus. They were in an upper room, and how Peter preached the message. So when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all together in one place with one accord, and the Bible goes on to say, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. This is in the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. You see where I'm going. There came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues, or divided tongues, like as a fire. It set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So there were dwelling in Jerusalem devout men out of every nation under heaven. And this was noise abroad. The multitude came together and confounded, because every man heard him speak in his own language. They were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these speak Galileans? So that's the question. So anyway, we see here, as you go on this is an actual occurrence that happened. Peter was the spokesman. If you can remember back in the Gospels, that the Lord gave Peter the keys of the kingdom of heaven. So he's the man that had the power. He is the man that had the authority to open up the church. So he went on to let them know to hearken to his words. These people were speaking in other tongues or other languages. They weren't drunk as ye suppose. But this is that which is spoken of the prophet Joel. That's Joel 2:28. And it shall come to pass, saith God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall dream dreams and shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your young, old men shall dream dreams. So that's exactly what the prophet Joel prophesied about. So they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And we go on to see here as he preached Jesus. And so they said, Israelites, those that were there, what must we do to be saved? And then this is the message Peter told them: to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So here's what's important. The next verse: the promises are unto you Jews, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Then, with many other words, did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. So the point being, this constitutes the new birth, being born of water and of spirit, literally baptized in water in the name of Jesus, and receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues or other languages as the Spirit gives them to utter. So we can fly back right quick in the book of St. John, the third chapter, when Jesus was talking to a man named Nicodemus, who was a ruler of the Jews, came to him by night, and he said to him, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So he goes on to say, that which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. Talking about our spirit, the human spirit. He went on to say, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Now here's what's important right here, to correlate in what I just said happened on the day of Pentecost. Jesus made a profound statement when he said, the wind bloweth where it listeneth, or where it will. You cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. Talking about the wind. And then he goes on to say, and so is, you can hear the sound thereof, he says. That's so very important. But you can't tell which way it's coming, which way it's going. Here's the key, he says, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So when you're born again, just like a baby in the natural world, when he's born again, the Bible says, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his sons into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, literally saying Daddy. So when you're born again, you're going to make a noise, is what's going to happen. There's going to come a sound that you have been born again. So these are the type of people that these letters are talking about. So we can't high jump over the book of over the Gospels, and leap over the book of Acts, high jump that is, and land in the book of Romans and 1st and 2nd Corinthians and all these letters that we're talking about. That is not the way that it works. So this is what the Apostle Paul is saying here. to the church at Ephesus. So he's talking here, and we had kind of went through, last week we went through the whole first chapter. So he was saying that a grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that is the greatest revelation of all times, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, that you know that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is the self same one. God is one. And so that's the greatest revelation of all times. So he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So see, they were born again. So you can also read about the new birth, about how we've been baptized in the sixth chapter of Romans. We've been planted together in the likeness of his death. We shall too also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that the old man is crucified, that we should not serve sin. He that is dead is free from sin. We are buried with him by baptism. And then also we'll see, as we get to the book of Colossians, by the operation of God. He's talking of the same thing about the born-again experience. So we've been predestinated on the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. So how do you get the forgiveness of sins? The forgiveness of sins is in the blood of Jesus, which is in the name of Jesus. When Peter preached, he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So the blood is in the name of Jesus. Hebrews 9 and 22, talking about all those blood sacrifices and all those things that they've done under the law, and he says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And he goes on to say, the Hebrew writer, and without shedding of blood is no remission. So remission of sins is in the name of Jesus. Also, you go back into the 24th chapter of Luke. He says, thus it behooved Christ to rise from the dead and to suffer, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Just what we just read out of the 24th chapter of Luke. So you got to have the born-again experience if you really want to get an understanding of the letters, or the epistles, which are called letters, which we call the children's bread. So you to be able to read the mail, you can't read somebody else's mail. If you don't work for IBM, their manual, their mail that they write to those employees who are employed by that company don't apply to you. If you don't work for General Motors, it would do you no good to read their contract and expect to reap the benefits of General Motors if you don't work for them. It's the same way it is with the word of the Lord. The born-again experience entitles you to the benefits of the children of God. So this is what he's saying here as he goes on here in this letter. So like I said, we went through this last week. I'll skip down to verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of his, of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. And remember also, you go back in the 16th chapter of Mark, in the 15th verse, he said unto them, go ye in all the world, this is after the resurrection, and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16 and 15, and he goes on to say, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He goes on to say, he that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If they lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. So you got to have the born-again experience. So he goes on here, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? So you got to believe. You don't just believe, but you're going to do something about it, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. That's the mystery, the name of Jesus. Everybody don't know who Jesus is. And so here it is. Remember Apostle Paul said, When he wrote to the church at Rome, he had heard of their faith, and he had wanted to come unto them that he might impart unto them some spiritual gift. Everybody don't know who Jesus is, and the devil is shaming people away from even when they pray. They say, in thy name. No, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory in the name of Jesus. Whatever we do in word or deed, Colossians 3 and 17 says, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto God and the Father by him. So it's all in the name of Jesus. That is the secret of the power. And the devil doesn't want you to know that it's all, that salvation is in the name of Jesus. Acts 4 and 12, they were preaching, talking about the name of Jesus, and he went on to say, neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Knowing that, when you reach back in the Old Testament, that our Lord came in the volume of the book. He is Emmanuel, God with us. So that's so very important to have been born again, to be able to really get an understanding. Like the Bible said, it's the Spirit that quickeneth. St. John 6 and 63. Quickeneth, that means makes alive. Jesus said these words. He says, the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. He says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So, as we go on here, is what we're going to talk about, being quickened by the Spirit. That means made alive, as we're going to get into the second chapter here. But anyway, so he goes on to say, talking about the resurrection of Jesus, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. You read in the book of Revelation, you're going to have a name written that no man know but he himself. And the people of God are going to have a name in their forehead, and they're going to live and reign with him forever. So he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So the church is the called out one, the ecclesia. The church is the body of Christ. So when I say the church, I'm not talking about a building, but what we are built upon, Ephesians 2 and 20, shall I leap ahead? About, we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So this is what I marvel at, and the devil does not, he's blinded people, you know, to this. That is that the Lord chose 12 men. He chose, when you read in the Gospels, he chose 12 disciples, 12 apostles, 12 men whom he called apostles. He gave them the plan of what to do, the salvation plan, and people are just dancing all around it. And so he didn't say go baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He didn't. That's repeating after him. But they knew, the apostles knew what the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost is, and that is, the name of the Father is Jesus. The name of the Son is Jesus. The name of the Holy Ghost is Jesus. They knew what the name was. So they just didn't go repeat after him. They went and fulfilled the commission, and that is to be baptized in the name of Jesus. So when you have the born-again experience, then God can begin to reveal himself unto you. And so this is why this is leading us right up to the second chapter of the book of Ephesians that we're going to get into today. And that is, when he goes on here, he says, and you, he's talking about the born-again believers, those that have been baptized in the name of Jesus, those that have been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues or other languages as the Spirit gives them to utter. So when you're born again, you're not going to speak in your native tongue or your native language, but you're going to speak in another tongue that you did not study or you did not go to school for. That is, that's letting you know. This is why he's saying Christ in you, the hope of glory. You're going to know he's in you because that is going to be the evidence that you spake in another language as the Spirit gave you what to utter. So he goes on here in the first verse in the second chapter is where we're going to we said all of that to get to this, letting you know that you got to be born again. And thank God for you, sister, that are for tuning in on the day. So he says, and you hath he quickened. That word quickened means made alive. So, and also, see, the word of God is quick. The scripture says, Hebrews 4 and 12 said it's quick. That means it's alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing asunder into the dividing of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. Talking about God's word, it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The writer goes on to say, neither is there any creature that is not made manifest in his sight. Talking about us, all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Talking about God's word, which is alive here. So we were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So he goes on to say, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, and the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, so this is what's important right here, who is rich in mercy, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us. There it is right there again. Together, us together with Christ, by grace are ye saved. And has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So I just want to pause right there. So thank God for that. So there's nothing like the scripture says in the book of Proverbs, says wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And he goes on to say, in all thy getting, get understanding. So it's, you hold on to her. She is thy life. Talking about understanding. Talking about wisdom. So, and then it goes on to tell you about how that this was by God when he created the heavens and when he created the earth. You know, you got to have wisdom. You got to have understanding. So we thank God on today as we move forward in the word. We're hoping for to have our historian in the house on today. But if not, want you just to be tuned in next week and let others know. But we do have one of my co-workers in the gospel, my co-host on the day, in the person of Elder David Clifton. And so I'm going to let him in right here now on the lesson on the day. He's going to come in his own way as we move on forward in the word. And I hope that you've got an understanding of what all of that, what I said previously, to get us to the point where we are right now.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord, Elder.
Praise the Lord.
Good to be back on air with you. I know
yes.
there was a brief hiatus there. You know, we have to naturally work as well as in the spirit. And,
yes.
You know, my job had called for me to be away from some time, but thank God I'm back.
Yes, yes.
Amen. To talk about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I see you are in the second chapter of Ephesians. Amen. And, you know, I was listening to you, and one of the things that I like, amen, about you know, the passage that you just left out of is the but God,
yes,
who was rich in mercy,
yes,
for his great love wherewith he has loved us. You know, previously it talks about that how that we walked according to the course of the world, according,
yes,
to the prince, the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children,
yes,
of disobedience.
Yes.
And there's one thing that a saint cannot say is that they weren't a sinner.
Right.
You know, a lot of people, they will look at saints, they will look at the children of God, and they will, you know, maybe accuse us of thinking that we are better than everybody else, or we're trying to be perfect. And in that sense, yes, I'm trying to be perfect.
Yes.
I am not perfect in the world sense.
Yes.
But in God's eyes, as far as being mature,
yes,
amen, we should be perfect.
Yes.
But at one point in time, all of us in our lives, we were in some type of sin, and we had to come out of that sin. And as I heard you when I was coming in, you were dealing with being inside the body of Christ and outside the body of Christ. And there's a very small word in the scriptures, and Paul deals with it here when he talks about the us.
Yes.
The us. And we have to have an understanding of who the us's are.
Yes.
In the scriptures, there's times when the us is dealing, he's talking with the church here, as
yes,
you said, not the building,
right?
Amen, but the body of Christ.
Yes.
And it says that he loved us. This is the church. This is those that have accepted his love while we were yet in our sins. And, you know, I had the opportunity to talk with a gentleman today, and he asked me a question. He's trying to trip me up, and he said, you know, you're an elder, right? I see you're an elder. I said, yeah. He said, well, let me ask you a question. Does God love everybody? I've been around the block a couple times, and I know the answer to that.
Yeah.
Now, there was people that would tell you that God does love everybody. And if you read this scripture here, it says that, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he has loved us.
Yeah.
even when we were dead in our sins and trespasses, have he quickened us together in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
So there are people who say, well, see, God loves all of us. Well, again, as you said, it's not about being in the church building. It's about being in the body of Christ. It's about doing, the process of what it takes to get inside the body of Christ. But to answer the question, no, God does not love everybody. The Bible says, Jacob have I loved, Esau, that is a man, have I hated. That came out of God's mouth. Now, is it so much the person that he hates? No, it's the sin that we are in. It's the sin that he came to save us from.
Yeah.
So we have to understand, you know, there's times in the Bible when the scriptures are dealing with and talking about us,
yeah,
the saints, those that are in the body of Christ, those that have followed the plan of salvation, and not only followed the plan of salvation, but has continued therein with the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Right. And then also to go on in what just what you said, God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day.
Every day.
So God is not, these folks are lions. It's all this politicking and all this greed that's going on in the world. God, that's why God is going to judge. One of the reasons why God is going to judge the world, because of all this foolishness, because like a statement that I always make, and it's timely, and I'll say it again. He said, no man can serve two masters. You either hate the one and cleave to the other, you'll hold the one, despise the other. He goes on to say, you cannot serve God and mammon. Mm-hmm. And mammon is money.
Yes.
And so that's why the Bible said, Apostle Paul was saying, the look for the love of money is the root of all evil. So this is what we have to be careful about, where our heart is. And so some people think that their money, they can do anything they want. There's going to come a time when you can't do anything just because you got the money.
Amen.
You don't want to be here when the Antichrist come on the scene. There ain't going to be no politicking and negotiating. You're going to do what he says or your head. Literally everybody that don't take his mark is going to be their head.
Amen. That's that martial law.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so it's good to serve God now.
Yes.
Where you have a choice to do things, where we, as far as here in the United States of America, we can openly serve God. We can have church.
Yes.
Any day of the week we want, any time we want. You know, we can say the name of Jesus without any fear. We have a ministry that we fellowship with annually here that is from Russia. And there are still times where they have services where they have to secretly have these services because the government over there,
yeah,
does not love God.
Right.
And they are being persecuted still in this day and age.
Yeah.
But there's going to be a time where even in the United States, if it does still exist, where the Antichrist is going to tell you, you cannot preach and teach in that name,
right,
again.
Right. and just go back to the Psalm, like the Bible says, I believe Psalm 9 and 17 says, the wicked, just like what we just said, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations, plural, mm-hmm, that forget God. So people be saying, telling people to go to hell. No, they're going to send their self there if they don't do what God says, do.
Amen.
They're going to be turned into hell.
Amen.
So we got to do what God says, and we should love him. So we love him with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, all our strength, and love our neighbor as ourself. On these two hang all the law and the commandments. That key word is love. So he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So, but we can't do that. We can't keep his commandments if we're not born again.
Yeah.
You got to have the power.
You have to have the power. And you have to know what his commandments are.
Yeah.
You know, that's another thing. A lot of people have opinions of who God is and what God is and what his rules and regulations and standards are. And they will try to talk with you according to their opinion,
yeah,
about God. You know, they tell me, oh, just pray for him. You know, we are God's children. That's another phrase that you hear thrown out there.
Right.
That's your opinion because maybe someone has told you that we are all God's children. But, again, in the scriptures, we find out if you go to, I do believe it's the book of John, amen, we can find scripture that verifies,
yeah,
that every single human being on the face of the planet is not a child of God.
Right.
There's certain things that you have to do, amen, to be called a child of God. You know, a stranger can't come up to me off the street and tell me that he's my brother. Okay, we're going to have to do some type of blood test, you know, DNA test to find out, indeed, if you are my brother, my sister. You just can't say something and have nothing, amen,
substantiated.
The Bible says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. This is John chapter number 3. For his seed remaineth. First John chapter number 3. His seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil.
Yeah.
Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So there, we have children of God.
Yeah.
We have children of the devil, and they're known by what? By your works.
Yeah.
By what you do. By the actions that you do. And if you're saying you are a child of God, then the way that you live your life, the way that you walk, the way that you talk, the way that you think, it should reflect that.
Yeah.
You know, I can't call myself a child of God after I just get done cussing you out.
Right.
It just doesn't go along with the scripture.
No.
So we have to have something. Hey, man, we have to be living something nowadays,
yeah.
You know. We're in this age, and I think you spoke about this a couple of days ago, where everybody's just spiritual.
Yeah.
I'm just spiritual. Well, what kind of spirit is it that you have? Because there's many spirits out there that's working, but it's only one Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ in you, then you have another spirit working in you, and it's not a man of God.
Yeah.
So we have to understand that.
Yeah. And I think one thing is important here that I want to make plain about the book of Ephesians as we're talking on today about the mystery of the church, part two, and that is Apostle Paul is not really talking about how giving people instructions on how to walk as he did in Corinthians, had a really a gifted church, and he set order in that church. But the book of Ephesians, he's talking about the believers' position in Christ.
Amen.
And so you really know who your position, how you set above, you're far above all principality and power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're in him. You're sitting in heavenly places in Christ.
Yes.
You realize your position. You can see. So you can see things that are coming, just like the eagle. He can see far off, far away. So as believers, when you know what the word of the Lord says, you can see afar off, just like it is even now. Like people have said, and they see, even coming in the upcoming elections in this year, 2012, there's going to be a lot of nasty politics. When you don't, you got to go back even to your roots. And so even like in the Bible, you go back, there's a cause why things happen. And so people don't, they want to talk, oh, he didn't do this, he didn't do that. No, he didn't do this because you're sitting on him. You won't let him do this.
Uh-huh.
So everybody, and then you won't. And you don't want to look back and see that the previous administration, what they did to make a mess that they did, and that's what's got us all into this. So there's a reason for everything. So people always want to blame the next person, and they're going to promise you all this stuff that they can do and they can't do.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Bible, Apostle Peter talks about that. People are promising people their liberty, and then they're not going to give that to them in the second book of Peter. But he's talking about the believer's position. So when you really realize who you are, so this is not everybody that's in this position. Just like in the word us is here in the, and we have been. He made us to sit together in heavenly places. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world.
Uh-huh.
So God a respecter of person? No, he's not a respecter of person. But the Bible said he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is acceptable with him.
Uh-huh.
So we got to do what he says. So when you deal with God, you deal with the foreknowledge of God, and you deal with the will of God. What is his will? His will that all men will be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. What is his foreknowledge? Everybody's not going to.
Uh-huh.
So he knows who's going to say yes to his word.
Amen, amen.
So this is the believer's position.
And he goes on with the position. He says in verse number 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace, are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, with God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
Yes. So that's so very important. I want to back up a little bit here. Mm-hmm. So he's made us, verse 6, he's made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, talking about the church. And then he goes on to say that in the ages to come, that is not talking about now.
In time.
That is talking
Amen.
About in eternity.
Amen.
The ages to come, that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So he's talking about the church in the ages to come. So we're not just talking about it here. Like James says, what is your life? It's like a vapor. It appears for a little while, and it vanishes away. So we think, like somebody lived 100 years. Oh, he really blessed. He lived 100 years. That 100 years is nothing compared to eternity.
Amen.
You know, it's nothing. So you got to be born again. So only, like they say, ain't nothing to nothing but Jesus. Only what you do for Christ will last. So you got to let him work in you. So this is so that's why Apostle Paul, one word that he, statement that he made back in the first book of the Corinthians, and that is a little short phrase. And you know what that phrase was? He says, the time is short.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have much time as we think
we have.
We
don't have a whole lot of time. And, you know, Elder, one of the great things about God is we need eternity to still try to grasp a portion of how great he is. And
yes.
That's another reason, even in eternity,
yes.
we will still be learning about God,
yes.
about his exceeding riches
yes.
and his grace towards us. It's going to take eternity, and we will still never come to fully understand God. That's how powerful, amen, that's how good he is. And that's why I don't know why saints are so sad all the time.
Right, you shouldn't be.
We should be full of joy.
Yeah, like the psalmist says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world.
Mm-hmm.
He goes on to say, this is in the 90th Psalms, about the Lord have been our resting place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the world and the earth. He goes on to say, even from everlasting to everlasting,
yes.
thou art God. So in the beginning, we can't go back. That's far back as we could go in the beginning. But there, God is from everlasting to everlasting.
Amen.
He's the omnipresent spirit.
Amen.
He's the which was. He's the which is. He's the which is to come. Amen. He's always, he always was. Amen. God. It, like I said, he gets done being what he wants to be. He goes back to being what he always was, what he never ceased to be. He's always God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So we can't, that's, we always look at the origin of something. And that's what they teach in science. If you could get the origin of something, you could study it.
Yes.
You can't do that with God.
Uh-huh.
He's an omnipresent spirit. He's an invisible God.
Amen.
You know, and so that's why he had to take on a body to be made visible. Like in our intro, we say he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. That's a great mystery. There's no other prophet. There's no all of these people that are being so important. And see, you're not important. It's not one individual. Even Apostle Paul, God blessed him to be able to write these letters. But he said he's the least of all that he should say anything about because he persecuted the church of God and he wasted it. So we can see how great God is, and all the emphasis is on him.
Yeah.
There's only one grave you're going to go to that has already been said. He's not here. He's risen as he said.
That's
all
right.
These other folks, these other so-called prophets, and these so-called gods are make-believe.
That's right.
Because they don't exist.
Amen.
So we thank God, amen, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the real one.
Amen.
He's the Jehovah back in the Old Testament. He was the one that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they knew him by God Almighty. He went on to say, but by my name Jehovah was I not made known unto them. Then he goes on to let them know. And then after we go on, as we move on through the scriptures, after you leave the book of Isaiah, you never see the name Jehovah no more in the Bible. It's all in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So we just thank God. We know our time is kind of getting away from us, but we want to thank you, especially our special guest. We're going to call this young lady that's listening in our special guest on today. And so our historian is in the house, and we're going to give the rest of the time into the person of Elder Ryan Fountain. We kind of went through a few verses
okay.
here in the book of Ephesians, but we did a lot of building to get to where we are, letting our listeners know how you got to be born again
uh-huh.
and who this
Amen.
this letter, these letters are written to the church. So now, without any further ado, we're going to give you into the hands of our historian, and the person of Elder Ryan Fountain.
Amen. I just wanted to, before we get back into the verses, I just wanted to give just a quick background. I know
yes.
I've talked about the origins of this epistle. I just want to give a quick background just once again, because we're in the beginning of the epistle. The book of Ephesians was written. It's the first of Paul's prison epistles. So it was written while he was a prisoner in Rome. So he was writing from Rome in about A.D. 64, so it was in the last years of his life, within the last 5 years of his life, because it's believed that he was martyred about 68 A.D., I believe. And it was believed that this letter was carried along with the epistle to the Colossians and also the epistle to the pastor Philemon. It is also disputed whether this was actually authored to the Ephesians or whether it was the Laodicean letter that was addressed in the book of Colossians. But we know that in the scriptures, according to the King James Version, that is addressed to the Ephesians. So that's how we hold this book to be true. And he's talking about a lot of meaty things. This isn't a book that is can be compared to 1 Corinthians or to Galatians, where they were dealing with basic doctrines and basic beliefs. But this is a book that dealt with a lot of deep mysteries in God.
Yes.
And the mystery of the church, where the church came from in the mind of God, where God brought us from and where he brought us into, and talking about things that aren't easily understood by the natural mind, but through God and his spirit, we can get revelation, and he gives a lot of revelation within this book. So I will hand it back over to Elder Clifton.
Amen.
I believe we're in the second chapter.
Yeah, we were down, Elder, in the seventh verse, and just before you join us, we were speaking of the ages to come, that he might show the exceeding riches
Amen.
Of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ. And I was, alluding to how saints, and I do believe you taught a lesson on this a while ago, maybe a week or two ago, about joy and how saints should have joy. And if we understand some of these mysteries of Christ and how much he loved us and how much thought he put into us, I don't think that we would be so sorrowful. My job in the natural is not a very popular job, and I have days where I question my sanity as for why am I doing this particular job. And I know that every other week my bank account is going to take some type of hit, and that's going to be a deposit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm paid for the work, amen, that I do, and I don't want to say that it just gives me joy. But sometimes if we look off to the future and we understand why we are doing what we're doing, and we understand that payoff, that I do believe will give us that extra encouragement or that extra boost to continue on.
Amen.
And as saints, as children of God, if we understand that God has laid out this marvelous plan for us, he has made all these provisions for us, and if we think about that and if we keep that in our eyesight, we understand how great he really is, and even, as we said, in eternity, we will still be learning how great he is.
Yeah.
I don't know if we should have too many moments when we are just depressed. Yes, we will be sad. Things come in life where we be unhappy. But the majority of a saint's lifetime should be filled, amen, with joy.
Because we are set in heavenly places, as the scripture says, that
yeah.
we are in a place that no other man on this earth has the privilege of being in. We
mm-hmm.
are in the position that Christ loves us and put us in a place of being heirs. We have an inheritance that the average man does not have. And he has made us to know mysteries. This is the wonderful thing about God, that he's made us to know mysteries. That the body of Christ, there's many mysteries within this Bible that
mm-hmm.
people just can't understand. But we understand them through the Spirit and through his teaching and through his doctrine, that we are able to understand and grasp the teachings that are going on within this book. And but it's so inexhaustible that he says right there that in the ages to come, so there's going to be ages once we're into eternity, we're going to continually be learning about God through this word, and through, we don't need to necessarily even read the word anymore. He is the word.
Amen.
So he's going to be speaking face to face to us, and we're going to continually learn and be gleaning from him throughout eternity, throughout the ages to come. And I think that is such a powerful revelation. Once you understand that you will never exhaust God, he's a replenishing spirit at all times, you will never run out of revelation from God.
Yes. And then I think also I'll just leap forward here in the 6th chapter of Ephesians, the 19th verse. Apostle Paul says, "As for me and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I might open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." So there is a lot of people don't want you, the devil himself does not want you to preach Jesus.
Amen.
So we see what happened.
And it's a mystery. And
yes.
That mystery, he says it right there, it needs to be revealed.
Yes.
So many times Paul talks about mysteries, and there's a few unanswered mysteries that Paul speaks of, but most of the mysteries that Paul speaks of are revealed in his writing.
Yes.
He's revealing the mystery.
Yes.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
The mystery of the Godhead. It's revealed throughout the things that are made.
Mm-hmm.
The mystery of godliness. It's revealed right there.
Mm-hmm.
That God himself, I'm forgetting the scripture right now. It's God himself came.
Yes.
And
without controversy, greater the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh,
justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory.
Yes.
That's a mystery right there that Paul revealed.
Yes.
That it's revealed by Paul. The gospel reveals many mysteries.
Amen.
And as believers and spirit-filled people, we are made known these mysteries.
Yes.
We are revealed these mysteries unto us. So we have knowledge. We have precious knowledge. We have precious wisdom that is all inside of us and is revealed through his spirit.
Yes. And so just like even to go along just what he's saying, the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew, he was talking about they were the location where they were farmers, so they could understand these things. He was saying, you know, they wanted him to reveal these things, what he was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
He let them know about the field being the world,
mm-hmm.
and about the seed being the word of God.
Amen.
The good seed being the children, and the bad seed being the tares being the children of the wicked one,
yes.
which is the devil.
Amen.
So just like Elder Clifton said earlier, there are children of God, and there are children of the devil.
Yes.
All this wickedness going on, these people taking little kids, killing little girls and boys, and these foolishness these coaches are doing to these children, you think they ain't got hell in them? I tell you, yes, they do.
Amen. And just as all of us, we all walked in trespasses and sins
in times
at one
past.
Time, in times past. So that's going back to earlier in those scriptures, that we all walked according to our flesh. We all walked according to sin. We were all in a place that was not acceptable unto God.
Yeah, man.
And if I could go back to 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, he states that, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" We were not inheritors. We did not have an inheritance because we were in unrighteousness.
Yeah.
"Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God." You were in that one of those categories somewhere at some point in your life.
Yes.
You were not able to inherit the kingdom of God because you were one of these things.
Yes.
But if you look into the next verse, it says, "Such were some of you, but ye were washed, ye were sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God.
Yes.
So that means you, if you are baptized in his name, you are justified. If
yes.
you are baptized in his name, you are sanctified.
Yes.
If you are baptized in his name, you are cleansed.
Yes.
And you, if you have the Spirit of God in you, those things aren't in you any longer.
Right.
You are cleansed. And you are now are saved by his grace, because it's by his grace that he gave us this opportunity.
Yes.
It's by his grace that he gave us these things that we can walk forward in righteousness.
Yes.
Not in unrighteousness any longer.
And even understanding that, because, you know, one of the things that apostolics are accused of is hammering that you have to be baptized in Jesus' name. You have to be filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And I'm one of those that hammer that, but you'll have people accusing us of saying, oh, were you trying to say this? You know, it's your works. You know, baptism doesn't save you. Baptism doesn't save you. You telling me I have to do this, I have to do that. It's not of my works, okay? Just because I'm baptized, amen, that doesn't mean that I am saved. There's a certain way to be baptized.
Right.
But it's God made provisions that this is the way that he said that this had to be done. So
yeah.
it's not because of what I have done so much. It's because I obeyed what God told me to do. So it's not of works. So
right.
I can't boast. I can be happy that I have accepted the plan of salvation.
Yeah.
But it's not for me to boast. It's not to say you only can be saved if you're baptized in Jesus' name. That is true, but it's not because of the work.
Right.
It's because of
what
of what God said we had to do. So it's not so much what we did, it's about what Christ did,
amen,
to set us in these places.
And the work that he's doing inside of you, because
amen.
It says right here in verse 10, we are his
workmanship.
Amen.
Created
yes.
in him. We are recreated in Christ Jesus
yes.
through the baptism. We
yeah.
are recreated in Christ Jesus, given a new spirit, as he promised unto the children of Israel,
yeah.
that I will put in you a new spirit,
yeah.
and I will write into your hearts the law.
Yeah.
So he gave us a new law, which is the law of Christ. We are no longer under the law of stone, but we have the law of Christ, or the love of Christ within us, because Christ told the Pharisees that the greatest of the commandments
right.
was to love the Lord thy God, and the second one was to love thy neighbor.
Yes, that's it.
In all of those things, the whole law is in those.
Right.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So we are recreated in him. We are his workmanship unto good works.
Yes.
He did the good work in us.
Yes.
Yeah.
And now he's doing good works through us, and which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
Yes.
That when you're walking, you are continuing.
Mm-hmm.
You're not just standing in one place.
Mm-hmm.
You're not just content with where you are.
Amen.
You are continually moving forward in him. We're in a race. The book of Hebrews says that we should be running this race patiently.
Right.
And we should take off all the burdens of this world, because all those burdens should have been taken off of you at baptism.
Amen.
And we should be running this race at a pace that is comfortable for us, that we will be able to finish and go over that line. And at the finish line, he's going to call us up into the air to be gathered together with him,
yes.
with the first the dead in Christ, and then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with him to be with him forever. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
And that's what we should be looking at, creation, and as being in his workmanship. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
So I guess we will close out on today, unless there's anything else that needs
yes,
to be said.
Yes, yes, yes.
We'll close out and we'll start again next week in verse 11, and move forward from there. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That's truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into heaven. glory.